We're going to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 27. I threw you all off this morning. And so that's where we're going to go this morning and take a reading of God's Word. Chapter number 26 is where we'll be. Chapter number 26 in the book of Matthew. Next Sunday, we won't be here, so I'm basically building up to chapter 25 in Jeremiah, which is why I'm kind of taking a diversion here. If you read, I know there's folks in here that do their Bible studies along with me throughout the week in Jeremiah, so this might make some sense to you as we go through this today. It's just going to kind of build up for the next couple weeks. So we'll get back to Jeremiah 25 here shortly, but I want to take a diversion this week, I believe because God wanted me to. And to be honest with you folks, it really didn't come to me until last night. I'm going to explain some things, why this took place, and what led up to this. So as I build the stage for this, be patient with me, and I hope it all makes sense in the end. And with that being said, let's have a word of prayer. Let's ask God to, as I pray outwardly, I ask that you pray inwardly and silently, that God would work and speak to your heart, and the distractions would be removed from here this morning. Amen. The last thing we want is distractions. We get distracted by the fans. Those are my biggest fans. Do you guys know that? Those are my biggest fans. I like those. But let's have a word of prayer and just let's ask God to bless. Heavenly Father, again, it is a joy that we're able to call upon your name. We're able to come to you in a time of need, and Lord, we're able to come to you just because we want to, because we love you, because we desire to have a relationship and fellowship with you. Lord, thank you for this opportunity that you give me once again to teach your word. Lord, again, I ask that you would be glorified through it. And Lord, you know me, you know my thoughts, you know how simple of a man I am. And so, Lord, I ask again that you bestow your knowledge and your wisdom upon me as we go through your word. Lord, I pray that you'd be with our young adults, our teenagers, and our young kids that are across the way learning your word right now. Lord, we pray that you would be glorified through everything that's said and done this morning. We ask it in your name. Amen. So as I begin to build this stage, we'll begin to understand the things that took place. The title of my message this morning, what's the purpose of the blood? You know, there is purpose in the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. And it is our responsibility to go into Scripture, to do some research, to dig up what is the purpose of the blood. And so I began to do that, but it took a process this week for me to understand some things. And that's just what happens. Monday, I was at work, and I was going through my work day, and everything was going well. I had a great day. I wasn't that busy. I had to go help out a fellow coworker. One of the things that we do for a job, a lot of folks don't know this, we have huge hydrant meters. They're up to 3 inches thick in diameter. That's how much water flow will come out of those things. Just to pick these things up, they weigh anywhere between 200 to 300 pounds. So it takes a couple guys to pick these things up. You think we get smarter with technology, we'd make them lighter, but we don't do those things. So I was called to help one of our coworkers to remove one from a station that's Tom, is that your old job site at the wastewater plant? I was thinking manure, but thank you for saying wastewater. But anyway, we're out there, and everything's going fine. I was actually chatting with one of your former coworkers, and I asked if he knew you, and I'm glad you're here this morning because it really works out. And a testimony to you, he said, I really miss Tom. He was a class act. And I thought that was just amazing, a good testimony to have at work. And so I didn't get his name, but anyway, I began to talk with him and just began to joke around with him and some of those things. And so before you know it, I began to help out my coworkers because that's my job. I got to help people out. And so we grabbed this machine, but before I grabbed it, there is this particular one had about a 3 foot, maybe 3.5 foot section of steel pipe. And so I noticed that in the union part of it, the connection part of it, was loose. And so I tried to tighten it up, in which I did. Unbeknownst to me, my coworker did the same thing after I did because he noticed it was loose. Then after he touched it, I went back and tightened it again because I noticed it was loose once again, and then I figured I had everything tightened down. Well, in our world today, we think bigger is better. So man has designed trucks to be bigger. So the truck that this particular gentleman has, it sits a lot higher than most normal trucks, and so therefore this thing's already almost at my chest with the tailgate being up there. So we lifted this thing up, and as we lifted it up, I turned my head to the left, and unbeknownst to me what was going to happen. This 35 to 40 pound steel pipe just came and just knocked me on the head. The force was so hard on my head that my jaw just literally dropped. I felt like I just scraped some teeth on the way. I immediately began to taste blood in my mouth. I don't know what happened there. But I remember one the things that happened. The co-worker, he's really concerned about me. I said, I'm okay. As long as I'm not bleeding, I'm okay. And so I grabbed my head with my forearm, and I looked down, and I said, oh my goodness, I'm bleeding. And then my coworker got really scared because blood just began to trickle down my neck, and really terrified him. But as you all know, that when you get a head cut, they bleed pretty easily. It didn't take much. So I began to bleed pretty profusely at that point in time, not knowing what was taking place inside my head. I still don't know what's taking place inside my head. Nobody does. But anyway, it was a fun week. And I began to contemplate on the blood that was shed that day on my part, and it was due to negligence on my part and on my coworker's part. And so I began to contemplate this throughout the week, and then I began to think about some more serious things about the blood of Jesus. What was the purpose of Jesus' blood being shed? And so as we go through Scripture in the book of Matthew chapter 26, Jesus begins to set the scene. He calls in his disciples, and we are now gathered at the Last Supper. Just before verse number 27, 28, which is what we're going to read, the table's been set, the disciples are all there, they're gathered around Jesus, and what an amazing place for you and for me to be gathered around Jesus. I've always imagined in my mind, what's it going to be like in heaven being at the feet of Jesus, being at our Creator's feet who spoke life into us? And I begin to contemplate those things as throughout this week. And so he sets the table here, and he calls them in. I can remember as a young person growing up in my household, we had dinner at a specific time. That time is 5 o'clock. And matter of fact, I still think my mom still has dinner between 5 and 5:30 to this day. And if I ever want dinner at that time, I know where to go because I know it's already prepared. And so I can remember looking back as a young person, when mom wanted us to gather around the table, she would walk out that door because we didn't have cell phones back then. We had those things on the wall with a cord on it that was called a telephone. And that's foreign to our younger kids. They don't know what that is. I still remember the rotary dial phones that took 10 minutes to call somebody, it seemed like. But I can remember on many different occasions, if mom didn't call us, maybe one of the siblings were in there, and our dad at times would call us in a dinner. And as soon as we heard that call, our ears perked up because we knew that we were going to be fed. And we knew at that point in time, as we've gone about our separate ways throughout the day, because that's what kids do and that's what parents do, we go about our separate ways due to work and other activities. It was a time for us to come in, to sit around the family, and to fellowship with one another. And those are times that I've treasured, that I still very fond to have in my memory bank. And there's been many different occasions I can recall sitting at the table. We all held hands. You guys have heard this story many times from my father. We all held hands and we prayed and asked for the blessing of God's, the food that God provided us that day. Truth be told, Dad always said we held hands so the kids wouldn't get the food first. That's not the truth. We held hands so he wouldn't get the food first. And but that's what we did. And that was a time for us to get together and just begin to talk about the day that we had, begin to talk about the activities that we experienced those days. And those are times where dad would come in and say, "Hey, son, what did you do today? Hey, daughter, what did you do today?" And we begin to tell sometimes our wild stories. And those are always fun to do. So now we're gathered here in Matthew chapter 26. The disciples have been with Jesus now for almost 3.5 years at this particular time. There have been many occasions where they have been together for dinner. But this is one of the most significant places that God takes us to in Scripture, where they gather around a table and they begin to partake in bread with one another. Now, after Judas has been exposed to showing him that he was going to betray the Son of God, we read in verse number 6, or 26, it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and says, 'Take, eat this, my body.'" And then he says in verse number 27, he says, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it.'" Now, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't end there, because we see those two little dots there. One's a comma and the other one is a, I can't think of it right now. But anyway, it's a continuation of what's being talked about in verse number 27. It says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament." Every time that we partake in the Lord's Supper, it is a time for you and I to do a reflection, not upon ourselves, but upon the Lord. So often we make it upon ourselves. We begin to reflect, "Oh, there's some things that I can do in my life to change," and that's all good and dandy. But it's not about us at that particular point in time. It's about reflecting on what Jesus did that day, his sacrifice that he made for us on the cross that day. I'm going to tell you this, and I might not have any people with me on this, and that's okay, because this is my own personal thought, this is my own personal conviction. To me, it's not about the cross. The cross is a symbol that is worshipped, and I mean worshipped, by many people. So worshipped to the fact they forget the man that was on the cross. And that is sad in our society. What really is significant to me is the blood that was shed on the cross. In our world today, there are so many different versions of the Bible that take out the blood of Jesus. Without the blood of Jesus, we don't have salvation. The blood of Jesus is very important in my life, because it has done some things in my life and has done some things in your life. And we're going to talk about those things this morning. We're going to reflect on those things that should be important to us. It says, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So as they're gathered around at this Last Supper, Jesus and his disciples, they take the cup, they drink it, and then he gives them some words of encouragement, because they know what's taking place here shortly. Jesus is going to have his blood shed for you and for me. He's going to walk down a path that most men will not be able to survive. Jesus was literally beaten within inches of his life before he got to the cross. A normal man that would have went through that beating would have died. But we know that Jesus wasn't a normal man. He's the Son of God. And I thank God for that. And so, because of the situation that took place that day, there was the shedding of the blood with the cat of the nine tails. There was the shedding of the blood with the guardsmen that had Jesus, who physically, and this is hard for me to understand, who physically would grab their fists or use their backhands and beat Jesus senseless. "Your God, your King." They would beat him so bad with their hands that they would cause bruises and blood would be shed about his face. I saw a picture this week of a gentleman. You guys might have heard this on the news. They showed a before picture and they showed an after picture. I think he was an old retired congressman or senator. They showed the before picture and then they showed the after picture. Two teenagers got a hold of this elderly gentleman who's about 65, maybe 70 years of age, and just beat him senseless. They showed the after picture. I didn't recognize the man. So as I began to think about the shedding of the blood that day, Jesus, in a sense, became unrecognizable. It's hard for us to understand those things because we weren't there. But if you can take yourself to images that we see today in our world, we know what can take place to the human body. The blood that you and I shed means nothing to anybody else but to you. But the blood that Jesus shed that day means a whole lot to a lot of us. There are four things that I want to look at this morning. One, the blood washes us. The second thing I want to look at today is the blood purges us. There's a difference between washing and there's a difference between purging. And for you women who do laundry, you know that difference. You can put clothes in a wash machine, turn the cycle on without any detergent. What's going to happen? You're going to wash stuff, but what has to take place? You have to put an ingredient in there to do what? To purge it. The third thing that we're going to look at this morning is the blood restores us. The blood restores us. The fourth and last thing, if we have time this morning, we're going to look at that his blood gives us a purpose. There might be someone here this morning that think that they've lost their purpose in life. If you have Jesus Christ dwelling within you, you have a purpose because his blood was shed for you and for me. And so these are things that we need to look at in our lives. The blood washes us. Now, these are all simple things that I'm going to give you this morning. Nothing's going to be over your head because if it's over my head, then it's totally useless. So the blood washes us. Washing is an act of cleansing the filth. It's an act of cleansing the filth. Friday night, my wife and I, we took off out of here. We got our mother-in-law moved into her new place, and that was a lot of fun. The greatest thing that I experienced was when I got to the house that night, everything had already been moved into the trailer. And I'm thinking, praise Jesus, you're a great God tonight. And every night, actually, some men stepped up from the church, which I knew they would, and they came in, and they had everything in the trailer, in trucks, before we got there. But one thing that took place that day, I told my wife, I said, you know, honey, I'm not going to change my clothes. I said, I'm in work clothes right now. I don't want to change clothes I'm going to step into something clean and get dirty. That makes sense, doesn't it? It makes a lot of sense. Us guys, that makes sense. Women, that don't make sense. I heard a lady yesterday, she says, I got to get clean so I can get dirty. That makes sense to women, but it doesn't make sense to me. So I told her, said, I'm just going to stay in my work clothes, and so I did. What I didn't tell her what I was going to do the following day, I was going to have my same work clothes on from the previous day. So I did that. I kept my previous clothes on, and they were already dirty to begin with. But there's one thing that I could not wait to do, and that was to remove those clothes and to get clean. And one of the things I had to do to get clean, I had to wash myself. And so washing is an act of cleansing. Cleansing the filth that we have allowed to build up in our lives. I allowed the dirt to build up in my life the last 24 hours doing some work. And so I needed to remove that filth. And that's what washing does. It removes the filth. And as we go through the washing process, the purpose is to make us clean and to make us presentable. That's the purpose of washing. When Jesus shed his blood, one of the purposes was to wash us, to make us clean and to make him presentable, not to this world, not to you and I, but to him. Because we are his if we accept him. And so we are washed to make ourselves presentable. For 24 hours, I was not really presentable. I was filthy, I was dirty, and I was unpresentable. I was just unclean. And so as I begin to go through the washing process, I begin to realize some things that takes place. When we get cleaned up, and I begin to understand the purpose of what I heard yesterday, I need to get clean so that I can work better. I begin to understand that process. Being clean gives us a better outlook on things. It gives us a better outlook on things. As a matter of fact, it removes the cloudy vision that we might have. And once that cloudy vision is removed, we're able to see things in a whole new light. And so that is a purpose of being washed. Making us clean, making us presentable, and then to give us a better outlook on life. And that is the purpose of the shedding of Jesus Christ's blood that day. Because before that, we didn't really have a better outlook on things. Our sin, it weighed us down. It made us dirty. It made us filthy. It made us unpresentable. The last thing on the washing of the blood, having the filth being washed away gives us a feeling of being new once again. You guys remember when you had your children, you're at the hospital, and you brought that baby home, and the baby kind of smelled like the hospital, did it not? Smelled like all the rags that the baby was in. And what was the first thing that you did with your child when you brought it home? I can remember one of the first things that we did. We washed our baby. There's nothing like having a clean baby wrapped up in your arms, smelling like Johnson & Johnson shampoo. It's just to me, it's a soothing smell. Why can't we adults smell like that now? Babies have a good smell to them. But it gives us a feeling of being new once again. Because we go through life. We allow sin to make us filthy. And so the washing removes that away to make us new once again. Christ shed his blood for you and for me so that we can feel new once again. See, Adam and Eve, they ruined that. God created us perfect. He says, let us create man in our image. He was talking to Jesus that day. And when Adam and Eve, when they partook of the fruit, sin entered into the world. And because of that, they were filthy. They were dirty. They were no longer new. They recognized their sin. They had to be covered in figs. We talked about that last week. And so now after the washing process, now we're going to take a look at the purging process. There is in my job, if you were to see the river, you would see how dirty it is. That is the water that you and I drink. Tom saw it on the other end. He had to clean it out before he pushed it back in, which is what we have to do. We have to clean it and wash it before it goes in our homes. But there's a purging agent that takes place in that process to make that water drinkable. And so there's going to be a purging process for you and I. Okay, so Christ, he shed his blood for us to be washed. Now there's another act that has to take place. And it all happens, it's amazing how it happens. So now we move on to the purging process. Not only does the blood clean us, but it purges us. Well, what is purging? Purging is an act of getting rid of any harmful elements that takes place during a washing stage. During a washing stage, I've noticed I have done some things in my driveway where I grab my hose and I can spray my hose on a piece of dirt or some grease. Let's put grease. The grease would be a better way to go about this. I can wash it, but I can still see that stain. Does that make sense? There's one thing that God has allowed man to invent, and that's called Dawn dish soap. What do we know about Dawn dish soap? It's a purging agent. It's an agent that can go in and you can put that Dawn dish soap on the ground where that grease is, and you can rub it in however long it takes you. There's also another element that us guys use, and that's called oil dry. Ladies are like thinking, what's oil dry? It's like cat litter, ladies. You put it on the ground, you rub your feet in there. But it doesn't do the process as good as the Dawn dish soap. So you can take that Dawn dish soap and you can rub it in there, get a little wet, and begin to scrub it. And as you begin to scrub those things, you take that water, again, through the washing process, you turn that hose back on, and as that cleaning agent is in there, and you've done your work, you've been on your hands and knees, it purges that. And then you're able to wash all off, and what do you look at? You almost look at a brand new piece of concrete. You're removing the elements that takes place in the washing process. There's a reason why in the washing process there is a rinse cycle. That rinse cycle removes, with that purging process, all the residue that you want out of your clothes. And so, purging is an act of getting rid of any harmful elements. Gold, I have noticed, and I've read and I've done some study on this. When somebody goes and they want to do some gold mining, they find some gold. And what do they find in mixed in with gold? There are other elements that are in there. And so as you find the gold, you have to remove those elements. So that gold has to be purged to make it more valuable. If it's not purged, that gold is not going to be as valuable as it should be. So gold will go through a purging stage to make it more valuable. As you're going through the purging stage, God's doing this for this reason, to make you more valuable to Him. There's a reason for all this. There's a reason why we're being washed. There's a reason why we're being purged. And so Jesus purges us so that we can become more valuable to Him. And wouldn't you like your value to be increased? Think about it. That's amazing. The blood restores us. You know, I like watching shows where mechanics will come in and they'll see an old rusty car. And they're able to see a car that you and I might sit there and think to ourselves, why is this gentleman wasting time with it? There's no hope in it. It's had its life. It's obsolete now. Move on to bigger and better things. But a mechanic's eye sees the value in something when it's in a worse condition. The blood that shed that day washes us, it purges us, now it restores us. Jesus is in the restoring business. He knows you better than anybody else. He knows the damage, He knows the harm that you have done to your body. But Jesus wants to restore you from those things. He sees things that nobody else can see. There isn't anything that Jesus doesn't know about us. He knows the very hairs that are on our head. That'd be kind of awesome if we had heads, because that's what I said. He knows the very heads. I'm just seeing if you guys are awake this morning. So, He restores us. Through the restoring process, you and I will be made whole. See, during that restoring process, you and I are not complete. We're not complete yet. We're still kind of aimlessly wandering around. Just like that mechanic, when he sees that car, there is a process that takes place. He's got to remove some of the old and put it in different places and begin to examine a whole entire body. What does he need to do to make that whole once again? And he gets a game plan, and he designs that up, and he goes forth. And all this is to make us whole once again. Without the blood, you and I are incomplete. And as I said earlier, the world is making it about the cross. This cross has a very significant role in it, and I'm not taking that away. And I will never take that away. I am not here to worship the cross. I am not here to glory in the cross. I am here to worship Christ and to glory in him. But the blood had to be shed. And without the shedding of the blood, you and I are incomplete. When Jesus sees us, he sees the potential in us and wants to restore us and make us whole. Now, here's the thing that I don't understand. God created us with a free will, a free choice. Some of us were God's children. I can say, let me rephrase that. We can all say in here this morning, we're God's. We have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. But we put Christ on hold because we don't want to be restored completely. See, he works on yours and mine's permission to do the work. And he wants to restore you. He sees the potential that you have. But we might sit there and say, God, you might see the potential I have. I'm just not ready. And so he's just waiting anxiously to restore you, to make you whole. And as the shedding of the blood, as it takes place, washes, it purges us, it restores us. But after the shedding of blood, there's one thing that needs to take place. You and I have to and need to accept it. And once we accept it, the blood completes us. Amen. The blood completes us. As I move on here, time's dwindling down. His blood gives us a purpose. The unfortunate thing that took place in his life, it took the shedding of Jesus' blood that day to give you and I a purpose in life. Before that, we really didn't have a purpose. But after Christ shed his blood, you and I have a purpose. And you might ask yourself, well, what is that purpose that we have in life? I'm glad you asked, because I have four things I want to give you this morning. The first purpose that we have in life is to make him known to this world. Make him known to this world. God doesn't need our help, obviously, because he's God. He can speak and everything comes into existence. But the amazing thing about God is he wants our help. And so one of the purposes that you and I have in our life is to make him known to this world. There's an old preacher that I listen to. His name is Adrian Rogers. He's been with the Lord now, I think, for about 10, maybe 12 years. And his voice is still on the radio, and I still listen to him almost every day. And I've noticed the preaching that he does is making Jesus famous. Well, how do you make somebody famous? You talk about him. You talk about him. You make them known. They know who you are. There's people that I have heard you folks talk about, and when I finally meet them, I feel like I know them. And when we meet them, say, hey, it's good to see you. I've heard so much about you, and I'm glad I finally get to meet you. I got a face now with your name, and your friend has done a great job talking about you. He's talked you up, and he's got a lot of great things to say about you. That's what you and I need to do about the Lord. The shedding of the blood is a purpose for us to make Christ famous to this world. So let me ask you a question as we begin to close and wind this down. How are you making God famous in this world today? It is our job to help Jesus fulfill the Great Commission, is it not? So what are we doing to make him famous? Or are we striving to make ourselves famous? Are we striving to make it all about us? We know in life, as a believer, life's not about us anymore. It's about him. So what are we doing on our part? The other purpose is for us is to allow God to use us for his glory. You know, God wants to use you and I for his glory. I believe last year, we saw something take place in our pastor's life. It wasn't used for a pastor's glory. It wasn't used for your or my glory. It was used for the glory of God. And we got to see God do a miracle in the life of our pastor. And who got the glory for it? Jesus. Yes, did God give the nurses and the doctors the wisdom to help figure out the situation? He most certainly did. Those doctors and those nurses, they came up with things. But who gave those doctors and nurses the wisdom? It was God. God gave every single one of them the knowledge to help figure out what they needed to do. And so at the end of the day, as we have gone through that process of 112 days in the hospital, Christ receives the glory. And your pastor comes up here and he tells you what God has done in his life through that time. And I know there's more stories to come. We have gone through, it seems like, defeat in our life. But God uses things for his glory. Thank God for that. The purpose, again, number three, is to show the world that through him, they no longer need to live in shackles. What do you mean by that? What does sin do to us? Sin bounds us. It puts us in chains. It puts us in shackles. We're not free. The shedding of the blood gives us another purpose to show the world, after we show that he is famous, after we make him known to the world, after we see that God's using us for his glory, now we need to show the world that sin bounds us, and the blood that was shed that day, if we accept it, sets us free. We're no longer bound in shackles. We're no longer prisoners. We're the child of the King, and he has set us free. The last thing I want to say this morning, Christ shed his blood so that we could be set free and live through him. These four these points that I had this morning are very significant. The shedding of the blood, we have to be washed. We have to be purged. The shedding of the blood restores us. And the shedding of the blood gives us a new purpose in life. And I hope that this was an encouragement to you. As Jesus sat down with his disciples and say, take this, drink it. And he began to reflect on what Jesus did that day for you and for me. He did a tremendous sacrifice. He didn't really do nothing. You realize what he did? He gave up his throne with his Father, became man to come down here to shed blood so that us dirty, rotten sinners could accept him. He's done a lot for you and I. What are we doing for him? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for this outlook that you've given me this past week on what your blood means to me. Lord, I'm thankful, and I'm serious as I say this. Thank you for hitting me over the head so that I can see the importance of the blood that you shed for me. Lord, I ask that you bless in the next hour to come. Speak to our hearts once again. We ask it in your Son's name. Amen.